morning. We're on Daf Tzadi Beis, about 10 lines down from the top, and we're up to Itmar. Yesterday we learned through this Gemara up to the Mishnah, but we didn't really have a good handle on it. Now I think we have it a little bit better. Shtei chatzeros v'churva achas b'neihem. Achas erva, the achas lo erva. The Gemara is going to present a machlokes between Rav Huna and Chiya bar Rav as to what Rav would say in the following case. You have two chatzeros with a churva between them. Now, the members of one churva will call it the churva, of one chatzer, we'll call it the chatzer on the right. They made their own local Eruv. They don't have an Eruv with the Chatzer on the left. Moreover, the members of the Chatzer on the left did not have their own Eruv. And now the issue is a twofold issue. Number one, can the Chatzer, which established the Eruv, we said they're on the right, can they carry into the Churva? And number two, can the members of the chatz on the left, where there was no Eruv, carry into the churva? In the latter case, it would seem simple and straightforward that according to Rav, you would certainly be allowed to carry from the chatz on the left that didn't have an Eruv into the churva. And the reason for that is because you're allowed to carry from one churva to the other, as far as Kalim Sheshavsu B'chatzer is concerned. So you have Kalim that were located in the Chatzer, we'll call it on the left, which did not have its own local Eruv, at the outset of Shabbos. These Kalim that were located in that Chatzer can be carried into the Churva because you're allowed to carry from one Chatzer to the other. However, as far as the chatzer on the right is concerned, which set up its own Eruv, here it's really tricky. Why would we allow the members of that chatzer to carry kelim, even though those kelim were shoves in the chatzer at the moment of the onset of Shabbos, into the churva? After all, Rav is of the opinion that there's a gzera, and we're always afraid that he might confuse the two categories of kelim. If you allow him to carry kelim that are konesh visa in the bayis, we're always afraid that he might carry kelim that were konesh visa in the bayis. If you allow him to carry kelim that were konesh visa in the chatzer, he might confuse those kelim with kelim that were konesh visa in the bayis. And why do we assume that there's an abundance of both categories of kelim in the chatzer she'eruv? Well, the answer is simply because they set up their eruv, and that eruv allows them to carry kelim she'shavsu bebatim out into the chatzer. If you're going to now tell them that they're allowed to carry kelim from that chatzer into another chatzer, they'll come to inadvertently carry kelim that were kona shvisa in the bayis, which are now located out in the chatzer, because during the course of Shabbos, they brought out an ample amount of kelim from the bayis into the chatzer, because they set up an eruv, and now they're going to carry even those kelim that they carried out from the batim into the chatzer, over to the other chatzer, and that's obviously asur. So that in this complicated scenario, where you have two different chatzeros, one on the right of a churva that had established their own local eruv, the other on the left that had not established their eruv, the application of Rav's principles would lead us to the following two conclusions. Those who are in the chatz on the right that established the eruv, they would not be allowed to carry into the churva, even kelim that was shoves in the chatzer on Shabbos, because they might come to carry kelim from the bayis because they have an eruv. On the other hand, the chatz on the left would be allowed to carry kelim sheshavsu b'chatzer into the churva because there's no room for gzera. And that's exactly where Rav Huna is going to tell us now. Amar Afuna, Nosnim Oso, we're going to give over the Churva, Lizushalo Erva, meaning we're going to allow the people in the chutz on the left, where there was no Eruv, to carry from their chutz, those Kelim that were Shoves on Erev Shabbos in their chutz, out into the Churva. Since they didn't set up an Eruv, there are no Kelim that were Shoves in the Bayis that find their way into the chutz, because they weren't allowed to carry from the Bayis to the chutz, so there was no Eruv. Aval le She'erva, meaning to the chutzer that on the right side that had its own Eruv, were not going to allow carrying Kalim, even if they were Shoves in the chutzer, from that chutz on the right into the churva, because of the gzeir of Rav, Dilma, Asi, Lafuke, Mani, Debatim, Lechurva. We have to be afraid that maybe in his confusion, he might carry Kalim that was Shoves in the bias from the at the onset of Shabbos out into the churva. Now, the reason that the chutzer has such kalim mitzuyim ba chutzer is because they set up an eruv, and since they set up an eruv, they're constantly carrying kalim from the batim out into the chutzer, and therefore they'd be tempted to mar the distinction between these two categories of kalim. They'll even take kalim sheshovsu bebatim out into the churva. So that Rav Huna as a Talmud of Rav is simply applying Rav's principles in this case. Although Rav never discussed the case where there are two different chatzeres, one that had an Eruv and one that didn't have an Eruv. According to Rav Huna, there's no reason why the law should change. And the Eruv, the chatzer that had an Eruv, is not allowed to carry into the churva. The chatzer that had an Eruv would be allowed to carry into the churva. However, Chia Barav, Omar, he says he heard from his father that af lisha erva, which means that there's an absolute equation between the two chatzeros. Whatever din applies to the chatzer shelo erva is going to apply to the chatzer sherva. Now, this can go in two ways. If you can apply the same din, as opposed to Rav Huna, who differentiated between the chatzer sherva Lo Erva, which is Mutter, and the Chatz Sherva, which is Asur, you can apply now an equation between the two Chatzeros, then which direction are you going? And here we have two Lishonos in Chia Barav. The first Lishona, the one we're studying now, says Shtein Asuros, meaning even the Chatz Shalo Erva is enjoined from carrying into the Churva. And why? What's the compelling logic to assume that if Rav equated the two chatzers and gave them both the same din, that shtein asuros? Because v'yim tomar, if you're going to tell me shtein mutaros, that Rav equated them and he was matir both chatzeros, mipnei ma'ein nosen chatzer shelo erva lechatzer she'erva. Meaning that it's impossible to present a heter here for both chatzeros, because we know that Rav says that in a chatzer she'irva, we're not going to allow you to carry into another chatzer, because we're afraid that you might take kelim sheshavsu bebatim, which are now in the chatzer, because by virtue of the eruv, and you'll carry it into another chatzer, which you're not allowed to do. So it's impossible to maintain that shtein mutaros. I can perhaps maintain that the chatzah shelo irvo is muteris, but the chatzah she'irvu, how could you possibly be mater that chatzah? That would be in direct contradiction to Rav's principle that in a chatzah she'irvo, we're not going to allow you to carry from the chatzah into another chatzah, even with regard to kelim sheshav su b'chatzah, because we're always afraid you'll take from the kelim sheshav su b'bayis and carry them into a chatzah. Therefore, by process of elimination, the only possibility of understanding Rav, the way Rav Chia, his son, heard it, is to assume Shtein Asuros. Now, let's just spend a minute in order to shed a light on Shtein Asuros. Why should we generate an Iser on the Chatzah Shalo Irva? After all, according to Rav's principles, the Chatzah Shalo Irva is allowed to carry into another Chatzah. And the answer has to be that in this case that there are two chatzeros, that are, so to speak, vying for the same churva in the middle, if we allow the chatzah shelo irva to carry into the chatzah, and in this case the churva, then lest we come to a situation where even those members of the chatzah she'irva on the right side, they might also carry into the churva. And it's going to be very difficult to split the ruling and the psak between these two chatzeros, because on the face of it, both chatzeros have the identical situation. They both border on the churva in between. If you can allow one chatzer to carry kalim into the churva, then the other chatzer is going to assume that they can carry likewise into the churva. And now the Gemara wants to present a svara to defend the position of shtan mutaros. And in this case, with the churva in between the two chatzeros, there's reason and logic to assume that even Rav would allow carrying from the chatzah she'irva into the churva. And this is not similar to the case of carrying from one chatzah to a contiguous chatzah, when one chatzah had an eruv, because in that case, Rav's gzera kicks in. Hasam, in the case of Rav's gzera, cave unto mintar money de batim bechatzer asila fuke. There's room to suspect or to expect that a decent size volume of kalim that was shovis in the bias will be brought out to the chatzer, and then he might be tempted to carry those kalim into the nearby chatzer. And why is that so? Because cave unto mintar money de batim bechatzer. The chatzer is outside the bayis, and a chatzer is surrounded by machitzos, and it's a very private place. Whatever you put in that area called the chatzer, which are utensils, you assume that no one's going to steal them. That's called mintar. They are protected in the chatzer. When you carry from your chatzer into another chatzer, you'd be very comfortable with carrying a serious volume of kalim, because where are you putting them? In the nearby chatzah. The chatzah is a makom ha-mishtamir, it's mintar, and it's very likely that a person would feel absolutely comfortable taking kalim into a chatzah. So therefore there's an assumption here that a significant volume of kalim are coming from the bayis into the chatzer, and then there's going to be a temptation to carry from that chatzer to the nearby chatzer, because the kalim always remain in a makom mintar. Hacha, but here, what's happening is kalim are being brought from a chatzer, meaning from the bayis to the chatzer, from the chatzer to the churva. No. That's not probable. That's not likely. Kamen lo mintar money the chatz bechurva lo asi lafuke. We're not going to assume that kalim that he takes out of his bias into the chatzer, he will then take from the chatzer into the churva. The churva is an area that's exposed. It's open. It's accessible to the public. Everybody goes inside and outside of this room. They play there and they do this there, and therefore, the last thing you want to do is take kalim that might have a value to them and place them in a churva. So therefore, the suspicion here that since he does not have an eruv in his chatzer, since he has an eruv in his chatzer, he will be taking kalim from his bias into the chatzer. That's for sure, I grant you. But now those kalim will be brought from the chatzer into the churva. That's unlikely. And therefore, as the Rashba points out here, we're going to activate the principle called Milsa de lo Shchicha lo Gozu Be'Rabon. A situation which is rare, uncommon, it's not anticipated, is not included in the Gzera. Ika Diamri, we have now a second Lishna in Chiya Barav. Chiya Barav Omar, Af Lisha Erva. You're allowed to carry even with regard to the chatzer she'irva, which means shtein mutaros. You're allowed to carry from the chatzer shelo irva into the churva, And Rav said that you're allowed to carry from the Chotzer Sheirva into the Churva. The Imtomer, and if you'll object, Shtei and Asuros, it's more logical to go the opposite direction, the direction of Huna, and assume that from the Chotzer Sheirva you would not be allowed, according to Rav, to carry out into the Churva, because we would apply that Gzera of Rav, that he might come to carry Kalim Sheshavsu Bebatim out into his chotzer, because he has an Eruv, and then from there he's going to carry those Kalim, mistakenly, out into the Churva. Lefishen Nosin Chotzer Shlo Irva LeChotzer Sheirva, and therefore we should apply the principle of Rav. And the Gemara answers, no. According to this second Lishna Basra of Chia Barav, came into Mitrei money to Batim v'chotzer, since the Kalim of the Batim are protected in a chotzer, and therefore we can anticipate its regilus to take Kalim in large volume out of the bais into the chotzer. Therefore, Lo Shara Be Rabbanan, that's where the Gzera of Rav kicks in. And the Asi Lafuki, because he's going to take many Kalim from his bais out into the chotzer. So to take Kalim out to the chotzer, that's not a problem. The chotzer is an area that is mishtamer. We're not afraid that Ganovim are going to come into the chotzer, they're going to barge into the chotzer. However, Aval Bechurva Delo Mintere, but what about Churva? Are we afraid that he's going to take Kalim from the Batim out into the chotzer, from the chotzer to the Churva? That would not be a smart thing to do. That's not prudent, because Churva is an area that's exposed and is vulnerable, it's not protected, and therefore there's not going to be a significant volume of Kalim that he took from the Batim into the Chotzer, from the Chotzer into the Churva. So that situation is called a Milsalo Shchichav Al Gazer Bei Rabbanan. So in sum, what we have is a Machlokes between Rav Huna and Chia, whereas Rav Huna understands that the Chotzer Shalo Irva is Mutter, the Chotzer Shirva is Asur, applying the principle of Rav. Chia has a tradition in the name of his father that both Chatzeros have the same identical din. And that goes into two directions, depending upon the two Lishonos of Chia. If you go with the first Lishna of Chia, then it's Shtei and Asuros. And now we're going to be afraid to allow the Chotzer Shelo Irva to carry into the Churva, lest the Chotzer Sheirva people would also carry into the Churva. According to the second Lishna in Chia Barav, Rav said Shtei and Mutaros, and here's a case where Rav does not apply the Gzera that in a Chotzer Sheirva, if we allow him to carry into a nearby Chotzer, he will carry even Kalim that was Shoves Bebayis, because here's a case where he's carrying into a Churva, and it's unusual and not very smart to carry Kalim into a Churva, because a Churva is a Makom She'enu Mishtam. And that leads us to the Mishnah here on Daf Tzadi Beis Amin Aleph. And now we're going to go back to the main subject of this perek, and that's Gog. Are you allowed to carry from your Gog to the proximate Gog of your neighbor? Gog gadol samach lekatan. We had mentioned this case earlier. We have two structures that are contiguous, that are attached to each other. One structure is larger, let's say it's wider, and the other structure is smaller, it's more narrow. So that the larger structure has the walls of its house extending beyond that point where the smaller structure touches or kisses the larger structure. What I mean to say is that if you take a look at the two gagos, let's say you were standing on top of the roof, and you would see in front of you, number one, a gag katan. The gag katan is samuch. It's right, contiguous, as we said, to the gag gadol. Would you see any mechitzos? we're now working with the premise that Mechitza She'ena Nikeres is not subject or doesn't lend itself to the principle of God Asik Mechitzos. Now, if you're looking for the Mechitzos of the Bais Katan in order to raise them up onto the roof, you won't find them, because the facade of the building is smack up against the larger structure, so that if you're standing on top of the gagos, you will see absolutely no mechitzos as far as the gagkatan is concerned. But as far as the gagadol is concerned, you will see mechitzos, because the smaller building smacks up against the larger building, and if you look to your right and to your left, you will see the facade of the larger building. And that facade is called the Mechitza Nikeres. And that's going to allow me to apply the principle of God Asik Mechitzos and raise, so to speak, the Mechitzos of the Bayis, in this case the Bayis Gadol, higher onto the Gag. And if that be the case, then we look at this situation and we assess the overall picture, we come to the following conclusion. The Gag Katan is Paritz B'Meloo to the Gag Gadol. However, the Gag Gadol is not Paritz B'Meloo to the Gag Katan. Now, we have a principle at Erevin that when you have an area, Chatzah, for example, that's Paritz to another area, and that area could generate an Iser on the first area, so once it's Paritz B'Meloo, it generates an Iser, which means that I'm not allowed to carry on the Gag Katan, because the Gag Katan is Paritz B'Meloo to the Gag Gadol. The reverse is not the case. From the perspective of the Gag Gadol, I have Mechitzos that separate the Gag Gadol from the Gag Katan. Again, the Gag Katan, if you're standing on the Gag Katan, you will not see any Mechitzos. What you'll see in front of you is an area that's completely Paritz to the Gag Gadol. But if you're standing on the Gag Gadol, what you're going to see is on your right and your left, you're going to see what we call gefufi, which means extensions of the mechitzos of the Bayis Gadol underneath Lamata, in the Mokom Dira, and those can be extended up onto the roof. So we have a very unique kind of relationship between the Gag Gadol and the Gag Katan. It's the theory of relativity. The Gag Gadol relative to the Gag Katan is not Paritz B'Meloo, because it has its mechitzos on both studim, on both the sides of the opening into the Gag Katan. But the Gag Katan, on the other hand, from its perspective, is totally open into the Gag Gadol. And therefore, the Mishnah paskins, HaGadol Mutter VaKatan Asur. So those who live in the house that's Gadol, and they go up to the roof, they're allowed to take up kalim from their house up to their roof, because the gag on their roof has the status of Rishus HaYochid. You're allowed to take from your house to the gag, which is like from one side of your Rishus HaYochid to another side. And the Bnei HaGag HaKatan do not generate an Iser on the Gag Gadol because of the mechitzos that the Gag Gadol have on both sides. Vakatan Asur, because the Gag Katan is completely Paritz B'Meloo to the Gag Gadol, and the Bnei Gag HaKatan are not allowed to take kalim from their house up to the Gag, because, as we said before, the Gag is Paritz B'Meloo to the Gag Gadol, and the Gag Gadol is now a Rishus Acheres, and now you have two Rishuyos, one is Paritz to the other Rishus, and that generates a requirement of an Eruv. So therefore, the Rishus of the Gag Katan becomes a Rishus Hasura Betiltel. And what's going to happen now is that if you have Kalim Sheshavsu B'Bayis, you want to take these Kalim up to the Gag. In the case of the Gag Gadol, you're allowed to take these Kalim up to the Gag. in the case of the Gan Katan, you're not allowed to take these kelim up to the Gan. Now, there's a discussion that I would like to touch upon in the Rishonim about how to connect or relate this Mishnah to the Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir, back in the Mishnah that opened up this Perek, says they call Hagagos Rishus Achasen. And we don't generate an Isur from one Gag to another Gag. All the Gagos are considered one Rishus. And here, in our Mishnah, we're saying that you're not allowed to carry up to the Gag Katan. Would you be allowed to carry from, let's say, the Gag Gadol to the Gag Katan? So I'm going to give you a summary, first of all, of Rashi, Divrei Maaskal HaGadol. Rashi says that this Mishnah could reflect even the Shita of Rabbi Meir, who holds that Kol HaGagos Rishus Achasen. And he says that Rabbi Meir's leniency only applies to Kelim Sheshavsu Begagos. So in other words, carrying from one Gag to the other is like carrying from one Chatzit to the other. And it's Kula Rishus Achas, but that only applies to Kelim Sheshavsu Bachatzit, or in this case, Kelim Sheshavsu Begagos. If you have Kelim Sheshavsu Bebayis, then even Rabbi Meir would agree that there are chiluk rishuyos between the gagos. You're not allowed to carry kelim sheshavsu bebayis shel Ruvain into the gag of Shimon. If that be the case, then Rabbi Meir would agree you're not allowed to carry even to the gag of the bayis that has a gag that's parts bimeloo to the other gag. So what that means is that as far as Kalim Sheshavsu Bebayis is concerned, you're not allowed to take those Kalim from one Chatzit to the other, or in this case from one Gag to the other, even according to Rabbi Meir. And therefore, with regard to those Kalim, you cannot even carry those Kalim in the Gag Katan, because the Gag Katan is parts bimeloo to the Gag Gadol. And you'll ask me, what do you mean it's parts bimloa to the Gag Gadol? You're allowed to carry from one Gag to the other. Name. You're only allowed to carry from one Gag to the other Kelim Sheshavsu Begagos. But Kelim Sheshavsu Bebatim, you're not allowed to take from one Gag that's Ruvain's Gag into Shimon's Gag. And therefore, if Ruvain's Gag is parts bimloa to Shimon's Gag, then Shimon's Gag is going to generate an Iser on the Bnei Gag of Ruvain, in this case, the Bnei Gag HaKotan. So basically, just to summarize, Rashi says that our Mishnah could be interpreted even according to Rabbi Meir, who as a general rule maintains that all Gagos are Rishus Achas. You're allowed to carry from one Gag to the other, but keep in mind, that's only Kelim Sheshavsu Begagos. Going back to the Mishnah, Chatzer Gedola Shenifritzo L'Ktana is Gdola Muteres Uktana Asura. You now have two Chatzeros that are contiguous, and one spills into the other. That's called Nifritza. So that as far as the Chatzer Ktana is concerned, you've got Mechitzos on two sides of the Chatzer. Let's say there's a bias on the right, with a mechitza to its right, a bayis on the left with a mechitza to its left. Those mechitzos continue into the chatzer hagdola. There are no separations, no barriers, no mechitzas between the chatzer ketana and the chatzer hagdola. It's completely nifritza. However, looking from the perspective of the chatzer hagdola, the Chatz HaGdola has two machitzos on its extreme right and left, but in addition to that, those machitzos curve inward. They turn inward towards the Chatz HaKtana. And that gives you gipufe, that gives you machitzos on both sides of the Gdola. With regard to the Ketana, there are no machitzos whatsoever that separate the Ketana from the Gdola. In the case of the Gdola, there are machitzos that go, let's say, horizontally on both ends, both sides of the Chatzer. And those machitzos on the Tzdade HaGdola, the Chatz HaGdola, now separate the Gdola from the Ketana. So as far as the Gdola is concerned, it's not Porutz B'Meloa into the Ketana, whereas as far as the Ketana is concerned, it's Nifritza into the Chatz HaGdola. And therefore, Gdola Muteres uKtana Asura. The Ketana is Asura because it's Porutz B'Meloa L'Mokam Asala B'Tiltul. And that's what the Mishnah adds him, Ipnei Shehi K'Pischa Shel Gdola. In other words, the Mishnah now goes back to the case of Gedola Muteres and justifies Gedola Muteres because we view this opening between the Ketana and the Gedola from the perspective of the Gedola not as a Pirtza, but rather as a Pesach. And the reason for that is because the Chatz HaGedola has mechitzos that go not only in this direction, facing the Chatzer HaKetana, but also going inward, on both sides, you know, a 90-degree angle, blocking off the space between the Chatz HaGdola and the Chatz HaKetan. Ad kan, until this point, we have the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara wants to know, Lama l'misnei tarte. The Mishnah opens up with Gag Gadol and Gag Katon, and has an identical scenario in the case of a Chatz HaGdola, which is contiguous to a Chatz HaKetana. Wouldn't it have been enough to tell me one of them, and by analogy, we could have compared the other case to that case? And for the pretty much the balance of our discussion today, we're going to try to justify why the Mishnah needed both the Gagos case and the Chotzer case. And we're going to have to justify this according to Rav, and then according to Shmuel. So we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, which is back on Daf Peites, about what we call mechitzos she'enom nikaros. And Shmuel was of the opinion that even in a case of mechitzos she'enom nikaros, we still apply the principle of god asik mechitza, whereas Rav is of the opinion that we don't apply god asik mechitza in the case of the mechitzos agag, because let's assume that the mechitzos agag are enom nikaros. Now, the only exception to that rule would be if, let's say, the mechitza on the bottom of the house rises up and can be seen from the gag. If you're standing on the gag and you could see the mechitzos from the bayis going up, then and only then would Rav apply the principle of god asik mechitza, because you have mechitzos nikeres. That's if you could see from the gag the mechitzos. So let's say, for example, in the case of the gag ketana and the gag gdola, if you're standing on the gag gdola, you could see the mechitzos. Is therefore l'rav, the Gemara says, ketani gag dumi de chotzer. Rav is the one who requires mechitzos hanikaros. And the Mishnah wanted to formulate both halachas, the halach of gagos and the halach of chatzeros, in order to establish an analogy, a comparison between them. And that's called Gag Dumya de Chotzer. Since the Mishnah combined both Gag and Chotzer with the same dinim in both cases, it's telling you that the case of the Gag is Dumya de Chotzer. What do we gain by this equation? What light does it shed on our understanding of the Gag? Is ma chotzer minkara mechitzta af gagnami minkara mechitzta? Now, in the case of chotzer, we have mechitzos of the chotzer, and these are mechitzos nikaros. These are physical mechitzos that we can see with our eye. And now, by analogy, the case of the gag also is a scenario in which we can see the mechitzos with our eyes. How can you see the mechitzos with your eyes when you have two structures that are absolutely contiguous one to the other? And the answer is because since the gag of the gedola is the extension of the mechitzos on the right and to the left, those are mechitzos nikaros, meaning you cannot see the mechitzos of the bias in that point of contact between the chotz haketan and the chotz hagedol, the gag of the bais hagedol and the bais hakatan, because one gag flows into the other gag. There's no, you can't see the mechitzos of the respective batim. But since one gag is a gag gadol, then what you see up on top is mechitzos on both sides. Are mechitzos on both sides. Now, let's just add one little point over here. It's not such a major point, but you could have a case of mechitzos nikaros. Just one second. Just the opposite. You could have a scenario of mechitzo she'eno nikaros. The classic case of mechitzo she'eno nikaros was when the gagos just simply flow one into the other. I mean, you can't see any mechitzos. And our case in our mission is a little different. Dumya de chotzer means that there's a gag gadol. But you could have another case where the two gagos are contiguous, and the mechitzos are mechitzos she'enam nikaros. And that's going to be a case where hagag bolet me'al hamechitza, which means that you can have a structure which allows for mechitzos nikaros, because one structure is larger than the other, wider than the other. But if, let's say, the gag is a gag habolet, so it means that the roof actually extends over to the end of the larger structure. So that even though you have a larger structure, and that makes it into mechitzos nikaros, but the exception to that rule will be a gag habolet, because if the gag is bolet, let's say, and it extends all the way to the end of the outer boundaries of the bais hagadol, then the mechitzos therefore cannot be seen from the gag, because in this case the gag extends. Well, it's not a major point, but I just wanted to add that. So again, just to summarize, if we're asking why the Mishnah had to give us two cases, both the case of the Gagos and the case of the Chatzeros, then according to Rav, the answer is that the Mishnah wants to emphasize that as far as the Gag HaGedol is concerned, we could be Matir based on what's called Mechitzos HaNikaros. And we derive that conclusion that Gag HaGodol has Mechitzos Nikoros from the equation to Chatzah. That just like Chatzah has Mechitzos Nikoros, so too Gag has Mechitzos Nikoros. Now we move over to Shmuel. Shmuel, if you recall, holds that you don't need Mechitzos Nikoros. Even if you don't have Mechitzos Nikoros, you still apply the principle of God Asig Mechitzta, which allows you to separate one Gag from the other. So the Gemara says, Gag Dumi the Chotzer, even Shmuel is going to apply and require, in order to shed a light on our Mishnah, the principle of Gag Dumi the Chotzer, that the Mishnah in one lump, in one breath, combined Gag and Chotzer to teach us that the Gag has to be similar to a Chotzer. Ma Chotzer de Kodarsi be Rabim, Af Gag Nami de Kodarsi Le Rabim. Just like in the case of a chotzer, many people walk in and out of the chotzer, so too the gag that our Mishnah is talking about is Darsim Bo Rabim, which means the following, that if we want to justify the Mishnah prohibiting the gag HaKotan, then we have to ask ourselves the question, according to Shmuel, why do you prohibit the Gag HaKotan? The Gag HaKotan is surrounded by Mechitzos, because Shmuel is willing to apply the din of God asking Mechitzos even to a Mechitza Shein and Ikeres. So why does that Mishnah say that it's Asur to carry in the Gag HaKotan? And the answer is that we're talking about a very unique kind of Gag. And the reason why the Gag HaKotan is not separated from the Gag HaGadol, but rather it's parts of the Gag HaGadol, which generates an Iser of Tiltil on the Gag HaKotan, is because we have Darsi Bei Rabin. We have people that are walking back and forth from one Gag to the other. It's a very popular Gag. You know, they play sports up on the Gag, or, you know, they go up there and... they throw around the volleyball, right? So that's called Darsi Bei Rabin. So that, according to Shmuel, we will not apply God Asik Mechitza to the Mechitzas of the Gag HaKotan, which, according to Shmuel, we should do, because Shmuel applies God Asik Mechitzas even to a Mechitza Shein and Ikeres, because here we have another problem, another invalidation with regard to the Gag HaKotan, and that is Darsi Bei Rabim. How do we know that our Mishnah is talking about a case of Darsi Bei Rabim? That's because of Dumya, Gag Dumya the Chatzah. Just like Chatzah is Darsi Bei Rabim, so too the Gag is a case of Darsi Bei Rabim. But if there were no Rabim Darsim, then the Mechitza, which you don't see with your eyes, of the Bais HaKotan, are Asik, are Ole Ad L'Rakia, and they would separate the Gag HaKotan from the Gag HaGadol. So just to summarize, it comes out that each one of the Amoraim, whether it's Rav or Shmuel, would be Medaik in the Mishnah, Lishitoso, and derive a conclusion from the equation in our Mishnah between the Gagos and the Chatzeros. According to Rav, he's going to be medayik from our Mishnah that a mechitza she'ena nikeres is not considered mechitza, and hence the Gag HaKotan is asur, and only the Gag HaGadol is muta because there it's mechitza nikeres. Shmuel is going to derive a different conclusion from our Mishnah that the mechitza of the Gag HaKotan, which Shmuel normally would validate because Shmuel applies God Ask Mechitzas even to a Mechitza Shen and Ikeres. In this case, the Mechitza is voided because it's a Mechitza Nidresis. And that we derive from the equation to the Chatzah. Now, at this point, the Sugya really broadens and widens to include many, many different areas of halacha where you have a chotza ktana and a chotza gdola. And as we said, the chotza ktana sort of opens into the chotza gdola. The chotza gdola, on the other hand, has its own mechitzos, and therefore it, so to speak, separates itself from the chotza ktana. Yosef, Rabov, Rav Zerov, Rav Bar Chanan, imagine this trio. We have three Amoroim sitting and learning together. Yosef, Abai, Gabai, and Abai is sitting next to them. And Vyasve, Vikaamri, the three, Rabba, Rav Zerov, and Rav Bar Chanan, Rav Chanan, they present the following conclusion that they derive from Amish. Shmamino Mimasnisen, Diure Gidola Biktano Vien, Diure Ktano Bigidola. If you recall, the Mishnah added a few words at the end of the Mishnah, and that is Mipneshehi Kepischa Shel Gidola. And the Amoraim are going to derive from that phrase, Pischa Shel Gidola, the following conclusion. That the resonance of the Chotza Gdola, so to speak, control the Ktana. But the resonance in the Ktana did not control the Gdola. Which means the following. That the resonance of the Chotza Ktana are Nigrarim, or Nimshachim, they are Nachshlepers that are schlepped along to the Chotza Gdola, and they are considered like the Chotza Gdola. However, the other direction is not correct. It's only one directional. The Dayorim who live in the Chotza Gdola are not Nimshachim, they're not Nigrorim after the Chotza Ktana. And this is based on Rashi Divirasko Diure. And basically what Rashi is saying is the Dayori HaChotza Ktana are considered as if they live together with the Dayorim of the Gdola. And that, therefore it's Paritz L'Gdola. And since it's Paritz L'Gdola, that's why the Chotza Gdola is going to generate an Isa Tiltel on the Chotza Ktana. And basically what we're saying is that the Dayori HaGdola are a separate entity, and they have their own dinim that don't apply to the Chotza Ktana. For example, we won't view the Gag of the Gadol as if it's Poritz to the Gag HaKotan, or in the case of the Chotza Gdola, we don't see it as Prutza Bimloa to the Chotza Ktana. The Gdola, by its very nature, is independent of the Ktana, whereas the Ktana is Poritz into the Gdola, as if to say that the Dayorim of the Ktana live together with the Dayorim of the Gdola. But again, it's a one-way street. Ketzad, what did the Amoraim teach us by establishing that the Diurei HaGdola are separate from the Ktana, whereas the Diurei HaKtana are not separate from the Gdola? Gefanim, B'Gdola, Osul Izroa, Esaktano. You have two chatzeros. One is a large chatzer and the other is a small chatzer. In the Chotza Gdola, you plant a vineyard. And in the Chotza Ktana, you plant grains or fruits or legumes. And now, what's going to be the din? Asur lizroa esaktano. If you plant zroim in the Ktana, then it's as if you planted those zroim in the Gdola. Because as we said before, the Chotza Gdola subjugates the Ktana. It carries the Ktana into it. So when you now go ahead and plant zroim in the Chotza Ktana, you are now violating the Isur Kelayim. Because for all intents and purposes, according to the halacha, it's considered as if you planted these zroim in the Chotza Gdola, which is a chotza that you use for gefanin. And the greira halacha, that the Ktana is negreira sachar gdola, is going to lead us to the definition, the abstract definition, that the ketana planted in the, well, together with the gefanim of the gedola. V'im zoraz roim asurim. This is not just an extra piety and a chumrah, this is even b'di'eved. If the members of the ketana went ahead and violating the law, they planted zroim, then those zroim are also because of the din of kelayim. However, and here we turn to Tzadi Beis Amid Beis, the opposite direction is not true. Gifanim, let's say he plants the vineyards not in the ketana, as he did in the first case, right? Gifanim, just 1 second, no, I'm sorry, 1 second. So if Gifanim in the gedola, I'm sorry. So the Gemara on the top of the Omud is telling you that although the Zroim that were planted in the Ketana are now also midin Kelayim, the vineyard that was planted in the Gedola is Mutar. It doesn't become Asur by virtue of the Zroim in the Ketana. Why? Because from the Gedola to the Ketana is a Pesach, which means that we don't view the Gedola as Prutza, as if it was open up into the Ketana. The Gedola remains a separate, independent Chatzer, and therefore, it's unaffected by the Zroim that were planted in the Chatzer Ketana. The Chatzer Gedola now retains its independence, and the nafkamina is that it's not asura, the vines that are planted in the gedola, not asura midin kelayim by virtue of the zroim of the ketana, because we view the chatzar gedola as a separate entity unto itself. The ketana though is nigreres boss of the gedola, so therefore the zroim that were planted in the ketana are asura midin kelayim as if they were planted in the gedola. Now we're going to switch around the scenario. And in the case now of Gefanim B'Ketana, if the vineyard was planted in the Ketana, then Mutal is Roa Es HaGedola. You're allowed to plant vegetables and grains in the Chatz HaGedola. You're allowed to do this even L'Chatchila, even if there's no distance between the two Chatzeros. And the reason for that is because there's a Pesach between the two Chatzeros, and that's considered a Machitza with regard to the Chatz HaGedola. So the Chatz HaGedola has an opening into the Chatz HaKetana, and that is considered as a Pesach. And a Pesach is defined halachically as a Machitza, as if to say that the Gedola set up a Machitza, and now if it wants to plant Zroim in its own chutz, in the Chutz HaGedola, it now has this virtual imaginary mechitza that separates it from the Chutz HaKetana. Now, when I say it's an imaginary mechitza, that's not exactly so. I mean, we do have the two ends, if you recall, and they are still standing, and that's the Gifufei, that's a mechitza. Now, it's interesting. If I were to quiz you here and ask you, what's the status of the Gefanim after the Zroim are planted? Right? The Gefanim are in the Chatz HaKetana. And now it says that you're allowed to plant Zroim in the Chatz HaGedola. Well, I understand that the Chatz HaGedola has its own Mechitza that protects it, so to speak, and separates it from the Chatz HaKetana, where the Gefanim are. That I can understand. But what about as far as the Gefanim that were planted in the Chatz HaKetana? Now you're planting Zroim in very close proximity. within four amos, then should we say therefore the gefanim in the chotzak tana became osur? And no one says such a thing. It means when it says mutal is roa es hagdola, it means there are no negative drawback or ramifications, even as far as the gefanim in the ketana. Now let's understand why. If we go back to the previous case, I'll call it the resha, then what happened is there were gefanim that were planted in the chotzak gedola. Now, since the ketana is going to be schlepped along by the gedola, therefore you're not allowed to be zorea, zroim in the ketana. So in such a case, I understand very well why the zroim and the ketana are asurim. Because you had no right, you had no permission to plant the zroim and the ketana, insofar as that ketana is basically inside the gedola where there are gefanim. And that's why in the Reisha he says Zroim Asurim. In the Sefer, what happens is that there are gefanim in the Chotzak Gedola, and now the question is he allowed to plant Zroim in the Ketana? The answer is, I'm sorry, let me get that again. There were gefanim in the ketana. Now ask yourself, are you allowed to plant zroim in the gedola? And the answer is you're allowed to, because the gedola, as we said before, has a mechitza, so to speak, that separates it from the ketana. Oh, now you're allowed to be zorea, then there are no negative repercussions, meaning the gefanim in the ketana remain mutarim. In the Reisha, in the first case, we said that if he plants Zroim in the Ketana, those Zroim are Asurim. Why then are the Gefanim in the Ketana, in the Sefer, Mutarim? And the answer is because there was no Iser of Zriya. In the first case, where you had Gefanim in the Chotzak Dola, you're not allowed to be Zorea Zroim in the Ketana. And if you violate that Iser, then clearly the Zroim that you produce are Kelayim. But in the Sefer, where you started with Gefanim in the Gedola, I'm sorry, you started with Gefanim in the Ketana, I keep reading the wrong, right? You have Gefanim in the Ketana, then you're allowed to plant Zroim in the Chotzak Gedola, even L'chatchila. And even within four amos of the gefanim that are in the chotzak tana, and again, as we explained, because of the mechitza that surrounds the chotzak gedola, in such a case, since there was a heter to plant the zroim in the chotzak gedola, the gefanim in the chotzak tana remain mutar. So that's the first application of our Mishnah beyond the scope of Erevin and a Heta Tiltal or a Nisa Tiltal between the Chotzak Gedol and the Chotzak Ketana. Now the Gemara is going to go on to a second area of Halacha, which also impacts or is impacted by this same distinction between the Chotzak Gedol and the Chotzak Ketana. That's in the laws of Maisa Gerishin. The Gemara from there is going to take this into Tefillah and is going to apply the principle of Chotzak Gedol and Chotzak Ketana in two different ways. Number one, if there's a shliach tzibur who's being motzi the tzibur, the shliach tzibur is one of the two chatzeros and the tzibur is in the other. Or in a case we have less than a minyan in the chatzak gedola and the chatzak ketana, can we combine the two chatzeros? Which is a very contemporary issue, by the way. And the Gemara then is going to go on to the question of, are you allowed to read Kriyat Shema in a chatzak ketana and there's soa in the chatzak gedola, or vice versa? All these repercussions and nafkaminas to this distinction between the Chotzak Gedola and Chotzak Ketana in Mirtz Hashem will be the subject of our study. The Gemara now is going to proceed to apply this distinction of these rules of Chotzak Ketana and Chotzak Gedola to the case of Gerishin, where she's standing in one of these two chatzeros, he's in the other chatzer, and he throws her a get, and whether the get is valid.
is it considered that she's standing in the chutz where the get is being given? So that Pulineter will be tomorrow at the top of Tzadi Beis, Amid Beis.